Did you set goals when you started in the NBA? Did you have goals at that point? Certain things that you wanted to do?
Yeah, it was really simple for me at the time, which is win as many championships as possible. I want more. I want to learn this thing some more. There's got to be another level, you know? And it was just beyond exciting. When I step on that basketball court, I become something else.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 AM, live from the Auto Forum Studios, and we're continuing what's been a very somber Drive Time Sports as we celebrate the life and legacy of Kobe Bryant the day after his passing. I'm joined right now by a reoccurring guest here on Drive Time Sports, Jameson Welsh, who has joined us for 8 years. In fact, one of the things that brought Jameson and I together to do our first radio spot 8 years ago, it was Kobe Bryant. And so it only seems fitting to bring Jameson in for today's show. Jameson, it's always a pleasure. I appreciate the time.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me, as always, especially under these circumstances.
Under these circumstances where I know it's difficult for the both of us, and so to go through this again with you and talk about the life and legacy of Kobe, it definitely means a lot. And again, we can start by talking about impact. I don't think that we can overstate the impact that he had not only on the game of basketball, but also on a bunch of individual lives personally. And I think that's worldwide. I know you and I are two of those guys that have been touched by Kobe. So rather than talking about the shock and the sadness of what went down yesterday, the impact that Kobe made on you.
Well, it's crazy. Like, my dad lived in Inglewood for the better part of my, childhood. So I walked to the Forum. I've been to Laker games in the Forum. There was games where I saw Kobe. He didn't play that much. There's games I saw he played 40 minutes a night. So I remember game one of Kobe. I remember the hype. I remember the hearing about him on the radio, how, this 17-year-old kid is ready for the NBA, and he's going to come in, and, he's supposed to be really good. And then next thing you know, he comes in. It's like, oh, wow, we got something here. And then, that's also the same summer they got Shaq. So it's not like it was some random draft pick. It's like, no, they got two generational players in a two-week time span. So it was, but the impact of Kobe, man, he is the guy. So our parents, if your parents were Laker fans or lived in Southern California in the 80s and 70s, especially the 80s, Magic Johnson was basketball to them. The Lakers were bad, but Magic was basketball. Magic helped bridge the gap for a lot of people on different things. After he had to retire due to his situation, there was a gap there. Kobe helped bridge that gap between generations, and he also became the face of the Lakers over that time frame. Even though Shaq was there, but he was drafted by the Lakers. It's different. He is the guy that, when you think about Lakers, that's the first thing you think of. Kobe, like, just what it is. I mean, Magic played for 12 years, played for 20. Of course, the game is covered differently now. Social media, different outlets. So it's one of those situations where we've seen Kobe as young kids. We've seen him as an adult. It's to the point where I was in fifth grade when he debuted. I was, 30. When he retired. So that kind of tells you, that just kind of tells you where we're at, with that. That's the thing we look back on. Wow, like, most of my life, I've seen this guy play basketball as Los Angeles Lakers, and not just play, dominate. And, he's the guy that I have a friend, his name is Taylor. Everything he does in life equates to Kobe. Anything, good or perfection, you call it Kobe. That's just what it is. That's the expectations he set. When you think of the Lakers, excellent. It's not mediocrity. It's not hope you pray to make the playoffs. It's championship or bust. And Kobe took that from Magic and Kareem and all those guys and took that head on and was successful 5 times doing so. But the everlasting legacy was this. When you knew Kobe was playing, you knew he was going to bring it. You knew that you were going to get a game where he may not shoot the best, may have a rough shooting night. If he's going to do something spectacular, he's going to keep his team in it. He's going to try his hardest. as a fan, that's all you can ask for. And for the better part of 20 years, we got that. I have no complaints at all.
Right. Anytime you paid money or you sat down to watch, you know, you dedicated your time to watch the Lakers play, even on nights when the Lakers would lose, and you and I being both, you know, diehard Laker fans growing up watching this organization, you never felt cheated. You know, you were never brutally upset because you knew it wasn't because of a lack of effort. And I think that's one of the things that a lot of people will definitely appreciate about Kobe Bryant. You know, Jameson, for as much time as both of us spend in Los Angeles, we know that even years after Kobe is retired, that's still Kobe City. And last night, I think a prime example of that was the fact that we had the Grammys going on at the Staples Center, and there was actually a statement released saying that people needed to stay away from Staples Center to pay their respects because there was the Grammys. This was going on last night. But no, that was Kobe's building. It's Kobe City. And so all in all, just to see the impact that he's made over that city, the fact is you bring in a generational talent, a once-in-a-generational talent like LeBron James, it divides fans because it's Kobe City, right? Like, I throw the debate aside. I don't think the debate really has anything to do with it. The fact of the matter is, when you grow up watching a player the way we grew up watching Kobe, that has made an impact personally and also, you know, visually, media-wise, as Kobe Bryant, it's his city. And I, you know, being in the state of Utah, I don't know that that's a norm. Right, I don't think that people can actually put a finger on the impact that he had in Los Angeles if you're not around it to see.
Man, so here's the crazy part. You're absolutely correct. I always say, you know, Shaq built Staples. Kobe took over the payments in 04. You know, the mortgage or deed was transferred over in his name, and he took over the payments. That's just how it was, man. When you think of L.A., I mean, he is the king of L.A. sports. You think of all the greats that have played there, and I mean, Clayton Kershaw's had a wonderful career. Wonderful. I mean, outstanding career. Playoff situations and all. And he's not even close. Not even close to being the guy Kobe is. Just not. It's just not. And the Dodgers are 1A in that town. It's 1 and 1A for popularity. Mm-hmm. Everything else falls in suit after that. As great as Clayton Kershaw has been over the last decade, it's not even close. He's not even close.
No.
Not even close. So, like, Kobe's the king of L.A. sports. I mean, that's time where USC football had a good run. UCLA basketball had a good run. You know, you had hockey teams won two championships over the last decade. But Kobe is, when you think of L.A., you think of Lakers, you thought of Kobe. And you thought of excellence. You thought of a guy that he was the guy that all these players, current and past, look up to. Now, he may not go down as the best. He may, you know, everyone has their opinions and rankings, all this mad and analytics and all that stuff. However, the thing that I pay attention to the most is when you listen to past players talk, and even current guys too, but most of the guys he played against, the way they talk about him and the way they compare him to other guys, like, okay, these are the guys I think we should listen to more because these are the guys that played. These are the guys in the mix. Every guy you hear from that generation is like, hey, this is the best guy. This is the dude that I had to make sure my game was right for, not LeBron, not Tim Duncan. This guy was the guy. I actually had a chance to interview James Posey for another project that I was working on over the summer. James is really great interview, by the way. And he was like, the problem with Kobe is how are you going to guard someone that can literally shoot and make any shot at any time? He can shoot from 40 feet, and it is what it is. And he has ultimate green light. How do you defend that? You can't. You know, all you can do is work, make him work hard. But at the end of the day, guarding someone that can shoot at any given time, any angle, any time in the shot clock, tough, very tough. the respect he's gotten from his peers and even the young guys. When I hear Devin Booker, I saw Devin Booker play last week in Phoenix. Devin Booker, John Morant, Trae Young, those guys, Jamal Murray, who's, you know, he has a lot of Kobe in this game. He can shoot better, but that's the reserve every day. But, you know, he has a lot of, Kobe is his basketball guy, you know, and that's just what it is. And a lot of guys look up to that. It's amazing to see. And I'm just glad that his legacy is going to be continued because there's a lot of guys. DeMar DeRozan is basically a 60% version of Kobe. It's still, and that's the great in itself. So, Kobe was a guy, man, very, very special, and it's unfortunate that a lot of people didn't get to see him like we did, because we witnessed a lot of greatness on an every night basis.
On an every night basis, it's inspiration, and really, I mean, when you go back and you look at the career, to me, I mean, the career statistics, like we can sit here and we can go over all the accomplishments, right? It's almost like a side note when you take a look at what he has done for the game of basketball in itself. And Jameson, I know that most of the time, individuals are not fully appreciated until they're gone. And I feel like there was a battle for a very long time. There was those in the media, kind of an us versus them deal with Kobe, and it feels like he's finally starting to get the recognition that he deserved a long time ago. One of the things I want to touch on with you, because I know you agree with me 100% on it, I don't believe we can ever forget the impact that Kobe Bryant had on Team USA, the game of basketball. Coach Mike Krzyzewski will be the first one to tell you there was a different mindset around USA basketball, and Kobe helped fix that. Again, you go over the statistics, you look at what he accomplished, you talk about the five championships. Kobe would have been the first one to say a gold medal means more than, say, the Larry O'Brien trophy. I don't think that we can ever overstate the impact that he had on the game of basketball for this country, especially as we move into the next generation.
I mean, no, you're absolutely right. And, you know, it's unfortunate that people didn't appreciate him while he was here. A lot of the media, I mean, hell, even from his announcement that he's coming to the league, a lot of people thought he was an arrogant kid, and, you know, he was this, he was that, and they carried that judgment over to his pro career. So it's kind of unfortunate that the media didn't give him his fair shake, especially national media. Local media wasn't bad. You know, they did their part, but, you know, national media, they didn't do as good as they should have. We'll never see a Kobe Bryant again. We will never get that again. And they really dropped the ball on how he was covered, and kind of vice versa too, because he kind of shut a lot of them out as well. You know, he had a few guys. He was close to Stephen A. and Jim Gray and a few guys like that. But for the most part, he was kind of like, you know, cautious about a lot of people, because the national media, you know, they did some stuff that they probably shouldn't have done a few times, and it bit him the wrong way. And he was protective of that, and I understand. But he didn't get his just due while he was living. There's a saying, like, make sure you give people their flowers while they're here. Mm-hmm. And they didn't give him all his flowers while they're here. Every time they compared him with somebody, it was always a situation, well, he didn't do this, or, you know, he's this, this, and that. But, like, nah, like, man, look here. When you're comparing him to every perimeter player over the last 20 years, it's evident that, hey, this guy is special. It's evident, like, this guy belongs in these conversations. And it's just one of those things where it's unfortunate that it had to end like this. But, Kobe was an amazing, amazing player. And I'm glad I was able to watch day one to day end. You know, I wish I could win some more games. Looking back at it, you know, that's the only regret I have is being, you know, wish I was able to see him more live. But I saw a lot. And, it was amazing. It was a great, great ride.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, the pinnacle of what I've done professionally was getting to interview Kobe Bryant two times. I'm glad I have the audio from those two occurrences, because it's something that I'm always going to hold very dear to my heart. And Jameson, I know that you're in the same boat. So I'm going to leave. We can end the segment with this. Share with me that one lasting Kobe memory that's going to sit above the rest. And we can talk about what he accomplished on court. The one thing that stands above everything else.
I got to give two, because there's one in a number 8 jersey and one in a number 24 basketball-wise. The number 8 in 2004, even though they didn't win it, he won a division on two, you know, big, big shots. One was like a 30-foot three to send it to overtime, and the other one was like a 35-foot three to win it in overtime over like two guys. And I was like, okay, like this is different. Like, guys don't hit this shot. But it's just crazy, because that night, the Kings, who had a good team at the time, played the Warriors, who didn't have a good team. They lost to them. So that opened the door for this to even matter. And that will always stick with me. Like, wow, like, this guy really played to the end, and it worked out. And then also in the 24, game 6 of the Western Conference Finals versus Phoenix in 2010. And he those last 5 minutes, if you guys have a chance to watch those last 5 minutes, the game was kind of close. You know, there was some 3-point game, 5-point games, and, you know, Kobe just hit some shots over some defenders. They ran two guys at him by, like, the last 3 minutes of the game. It didn't matter. And he sent them home and went to the finals and got the fifth championship. And that memory right there. I know where I was at. I know who I was with. I remember, you know, I just remember, like, there was no doubt that this is gonna get done, and that's what happened.
Jameson Welsh, it is always a pleasure to get you on the show. I appreciate you helping me out today. I know you and I exchanged text conversations last night. We knew this was going to be a very difficult day, but definitely enjoy always talking basketball with you. I love the fact that you were able to join us once again and share some of your memories. Thank you so much.
No problem. Anytime.
We have more Drive Time Sports coming up in just a moment. We'll continue to honor the life and legacy of Kobe Bryant right after this.